1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Sound Space. We are in the spotlight with Montana musician, singer, and songwriter Mike Merry. Mike has a recent album out from 2018 called Difficult Days. This album was included on the 2019 Grammy nomination consideration list under Best Rock Album. Mike plays throughout Montana and mostly in the Northwest Montana area on a regular basis. We have Mike phoning in from Kalispell tonight, and he is going to speak with us about his process, his music, and where he's headed from here, right here on Sound Space.
Please don't let me go. I just gotta get this old van down the road. Yeah, well, we took the 87 south after the 25.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Welcome to the spotlight. We have a very special guest, and it's a phone-in interview from Northwest Montana. It is musician, singer, songwriter Mike Merry. Mike, welcome to Sound Space and to the listening audiences here in the Inland Northwest.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's just really great to have you here tonight, Mike, this special Montana-themed show. I myself have a very special connection to Montana from over the years and have been in and out of the area since about 1986, I would say. And what I'd love to ask you, Mike, is, what is your connection to Montana? To just lay a foundation, would you give us a little background for audiences listening?
Yeah, you bet. My parents moved out here from Detroit in the 70s to Northwest Montana. My mom was a teacher, and my dad, my dad and I were just talking about this the other day, actually. Didn't have a job at the time. He had been traveling the world, and he had some friends that told him about Montana. That he had to see it. And so we came out, checked it out. He and my mom got married, packed their belongings in a pickup, moved to Montana. And I couldn't be more thankful that they did. I was born in the mid-80s, right about the time that you got connected with Montana.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Kalispell. As soon as I graduated from high school, I just didn't feel like the standard path was for me. And so I traveled the world, did volunteer work for about 8 years. And saw a lot of poverty, a lot of difficult situations around the world. Saw a lot of beautiful things, a lot of beautiful people and places. And the whole time, I just deep down longed to get back to Montana. I was lucky enough to be able to move back here about 8 years ago now, in 2011. And have been lucky enough to make music in this beautiful state and beyond ever since. I could not love a place more than Montana. I love spending time in the outdoors, particularly alone. Sort of my foundation of my life is being alone and the natural resources that surround us here.
Do you know, Mike, a couple of the things I hear from what you just said. First off, needing the time alone for not only meditation, but to recharge for inspiration. And also to just be in touch with yourself enough to be as authentic as you can with your music. I get that from your music. I really do. Because if you're so distracted or too distracted as a creative, a lot of times you're not necessarily digging into the depth of your authenticity. You know, we see that a lot. And we see that with a lot of different forms of expression, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike, not everybody is going for the authentic. Sometimes they create personas, right? And they create, things of themselves. But when you're a singer-songwriter and you're having to write about some really important things to do with our humanity, which I think you do very well, then I can see where there's a real value for you being able to have the time to yourself to reflect on things and also the area you're in. I have a question for you. Since you've been back back since 2011 in the Northwest Montana area. What do you think has been the best change that has happened in that area in the past 8 years that you've been back?
Well, let me answer in two parts.
Okay.
That's a wonderful question, too. That's pretty thought-provoking. I think what has obviously changed is, you know, an increase of population and an increase in tourism. And so, therefore, you have, you know, an increase of stores and roads and parking lots, privatization of public lands, and so on and so forth. And so I think what I see as sort of a counterbalance to that growth is perhaps like just a continuing crescendo of efforts to protect public lands, to protect our water sources, to protect our forests. Again, those organizations and people that have been fighting to protect the natural resources we have in Montana, those aren't new. Those have been around for a long time. But
yeah.
I think they've had to increase their efforts as the population and the tourism grows. And that's something I really appreciate, something my dad's been heavily involved in over the years, something that I am trying to be more involved in with my music. To be a part of protecting the incredible natural resources we have here.
Yeah, like an intergenerational continuum in some way. What a great way to translate your music to a cause that really benefits everybody. You know, it's a universal thing. I wanted to just at least let audiences know, it looks like you've been releasing albums since 2011. You had a debut album called International. You were touring in Europe back then. Right?
You know, I toured the U.S. playing small coffee shops and small little clubs and restaurants and bars right after the release of that album. And then I did, I had two performances over in Europe after the release of that album. It was a lot of miles and a lot of work, but it was sort of a fun way to start my career. The tour that I did in the States was with another solo artist who's a good friend of mine from Denver, Colorado, and we did that tour together. So that was a good adventure for us.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that makes it even better. Yeah, exactly. You continued on. I mean, even after that, 2013, your bio says you released 5-song rock blues EP, and it was called Balance and Rhythm. And then you did some touring then. And the reason why I do this little chronology here for people is because I think it's very, very fascinating to see where everything kind of became a focus for you. In 2015, you released your third album, Tumbleweed, which really started to get you on people's radars, I believe. I think that especially in the Northwest, people started to really hear what you wanted to write about, and your music was maturing a bit, I'll bet. I certainly would love to play a song off Tumbleweed just because you're here, and I wanted to know if you had anything you'd like to say about that song before we play it.
You know, something that I have realized as a songwriter, and you alluded to it, Van, is the maturing of the music.
Mm.
And being an independent artist, I've self-produced a lot of my own stuff. Living in an age where making a recording is much more accessible than it used to be. Sometimes I look back on these songs that I put out so many years ago, and I see that I've changed and I've grown both personally and as a musician. So sometimes there's a level of, I shouldn't say embarrassment, it's not the right word, a little bit of vulnerability looking back on the songs. But, you know, at the same time, it reflects the journey of life, and I think that's cool in a way, too. It's somewhat of an autobiography. And so that song, Just Because You're Here, when I first moved back to Montana after my years of traveling, I was newly married. It was a huge transition in our lives. We weren't totally sure what the future held, and I knew that I wanted to be a musician. You know, music had always been a part of my life since I was a little kid. I knew that I wanted to make a career of that, but we weren't sure how to do that, where to live, thought about living in Nashville or Denver and all kinds of stuff. And so it was a very difficult, stressful, vulnerable time in our lives. And it was during that time I wrote the song, Just Because You're Here. And it's a simple love song that it basically expresses the sentiment to my spouse that, you know, life is very uncertain. I don't know where we're going, but if we're doing it together, I'm we're going to be okay.
Yeah, it is it's just a sweet song, and I think that it kind of shows a more delicate, yes, vulnerable side to you, Mike. I mean, I have to say, you know, you have a variety of videos that are accessible to people. You have a YouTube channel, website, and Facebook, and all the social media platforms. And what I see, and we're going to get into this, of your most recent release, you really know how to rock hard, Mike Murray. And and many times I think what happens is people get a different side of you when you play solo or you play a duet, like a duo. Yep. Show. Yep. As opposed to your full-blown band. I mean, you start rocking with your band, it's a whole different deal, believe me. And yeah. You know, yeah. And is why I wanted to start with this song. In some ways, when people hear it, they're, and then hear the other pieces, they will see that evolution, but they will also see that you're really varied. You have a real wide breadth to your discography here. Has that given you some good mileage to go rock, blues, Americana, you name it?
I would say earlier in my career, I was uncertain about my variety. I thought perhaps I needed to sort of zone in on a genre and stick to it. And so I think I felt a little bit perhaps insecure that I was all over the map. As I've gotten older, I've just embraced it, you know?
Yes.
I enjoy playing all the different types of genres that are represented in my discography. And I think the older I get, it's like, well, the song wins, right? If the song wants to be something, let it be what it wants to be, and don't try to make it something else. And for me, it ends up being all over the map sometimes, but I'm grateful that I get to play all these different types of genres and full band and solo, and I'm learning to embrace the variety, I suppose I could say.
Yeah, I think in some ways, if you're able to dish it out, people want that. And, you know, not everybody is able to, you know, be versatile like that, you know, to be solo, duo, you know, a trio, and then to be a full band. Not everybody has that versatility, but you sure do. So, okay, well, let's play this song then off of your album Tumbleweed, Just Because You're Here. And we're going to play that now. Here we go.
Just don't know how to get there, and though I'll be the strong one, I must admit I'm a little scared. So I guess you could say though the future is unclear, that I'm good for today. Just because you're here, let me be the first one to drive. You can sleep right there beside me. I'll go straight through till morning, and meanwhile, we're gonna leave our fears behind. So I guess you could say
though the future is unclear. That I'm good for today. Just because you're here.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song, Mike. What's interesting is that Tumbleweed came out in 2015, and then your fourth album, Difficult Days, which is actually how you came onto my radar initially. It was through hearing Difficult Days, and then I heard Tumbleweed. You gave me a copy of it at a show that I met you at. So Difficult Days really does then head into a whole other direction. What I'd like to ask about that album, of course, I couldn't overlook the fact that your bio says that that album was included on the 2019 Grammy nomination consideration list under Best Rock Album. Mike, what's it like to get a notice or a call like that your album has gotten on that list? What did that mean for you?
Well, first of all, I was perplexed. I thought, what does this mean? And how did this happen? Is this really?
Right. How did it get there?
You know, once I learned what it was and that it was legitimate, you know, it was a great honor. I knew that, you know, I'm a very small fish in a big pond as far as that concerned, so I had no expectation to make the actual nomination list, but just that recognition was fantastic.
Well, one of the things that I certainly would like to do is play the title track off that album, and I'd love people to hear Difficult Days. I'm going to drop that right now. Here we go.
Forecast calling for rain, calling for cloudy days. Foreshadowing the gray, conditions are here to stay. Northwest weather is cloaked and warm like an overcoat. Sunshine swallowed by shade, you can expect. Difficult days, like when the world outside feels like your enemy, and your friends have all left you for dead, and the walls come crashing down. I will stay with you.
Mike, besides things that go on in your life personally, what do you feel is the most difficult thing you have on your plate right now?
You know, I think for me right now, I see this as a challenge to overcome in an optimistic sort of approach. You know, I live in an area where fortunately we have an incredible amount of live music opportunities. I'm a young father and married, and so the opportunity for me over the last 4 or 5 years to be super busy and working all the time as a musician, usually within an hour to 2 hour radius of my home, has been a fantastic thing for this phase of my life. I think it has, however, well, for one, obviously sort of oversaturated me in one particular market. Mm-hmm. Why would we see Mike tonight? We can see Mike tomorrow.
Yes.
or the next night, you know. So there's that. And, you know, I think a large degree of the performance opportunities around here are sort of very casual, mm-hmm. non-listening environments, you know. And so as a singer-songwriter, particularly as my career develops and the lyrics become more and more important to me that they're heard, I sort of am eager to find better opportunities to play listening environments.
Yeah.
So the challenge for me now is to increase the scope of touring that I do, mm-hmm. you know, to grow my audience and to, you know, go to those listening environments. And so, you know, that's of course balanced with having a really well-established local career that pays the bills and going on the road, which is super expensive.
Yes.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But in, you know, as I look to the future, I see a lot more travel and hopefully developing a following as I have here in a little bit of a broader region. So
yeah,
that'll be a challenge, but it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, boy, you know what, Mike? That's a great challenge. That's also a great mantra to put in front of you for the coming year. You called your 2019 summer a staycation summer. I saw that on your, I loved that. My goodness, all it has been is, like you just explained, one show after another. I mean, I have not seen a regular area schedule like that for a musician. Congratulations. You really filled your calendar pretty darn well this summer.
Thank you, Ben.
And not only that, but you're very kind in your performances. You're very conscientious. I really appreciate that. I know there are a number of people who appreciate that about a musician.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it's an industry where there's a lot of selfishness. So I really applaud your ability to remain standing in your core values about your humanity there. And I was so excited to see that you just released in June Mike Merry Live Archives Volume 1. These are some live songs. Some of them are from the Somerset studio. Is that your studio?
Yeah, that is my little name I gave my studio.
Yeah, it's great. There are other places that some of the songs on that album have been recorded.
So with the live archives, they've just kind of been sort of a on the side thing. I haven't really, mostly due to the demand of my live performance schedule, I haven't promoted it as well as I should. I've certainly had some feedback. People like them. I think live albums are a funny thing. I think for those who like live albums, they typically like them better than studio albums. But they're kind of a niche thing, I think. So anyway, it's something I kind of put out for those people that might enjoy my music that kind of appreciate the live feel. Maybe perhaps some of my songs mm-hmm. that were recorded in sort of a polished full band production on the studio album mm-hmm. are to be found on the live archives in a very stripped down acoustic manner. So mm-hmm. just trying to offer some alternatives there. And I've actually got Volume 2 set to be released, I believe, August 30th.
Excellent.
On streaming platforms. And a similar sort of variety of just live performances as is found on Volume 1.
And so at the time of this, the people hearing this interview, it's already going to be out.
That's great.
That's a wonderful plug right there. Very naturally in conversation, Mike. See how it happens sometimes? I definitely feel that I need to play for listeners. Bury Me in Montana, the live at Somerset Studio, that version off that album. And I'd love to share that with people now. It looks like you had t-shirts made that have the title of that song on it. Bury Me in Montana When I Die. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
How
yeah.
did those sell? Are they selling, or do you still have any?
You know, those shirts have been great. People have liked them a lot. You know, I think being a solo artist, I chose early on not to sort of give myself a stage name or a band name, largely because when I perform, I just kind of like that feeling of conversation and authenticity and simplicity with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, long story short, I felt a little uncomfortable printing a giant Mike Murray on a shirt and expecting people to wear them, especially in my, you know, in the town where I live. And
right. grocery store.
Bury Me in Montana has been a song that has resonated with my audiences more than anything else I've written. And so it occurred to me that perhaps a shirt that had that as the theme and not my name might be a good thing. And I teamed up with a good friend of mine who's a graphic designer and illustrator, and you know, he gave me one round and I loved it, and we put them on some great shirts and people have been loving them and sporting them, and I've seen a few people around wearing them and it makes me happy. So
yeah. Mike, can they get them through your website? Is that where people, if they do like that title and would want one of those?
Yes, that's a great question. I have an online store that's under construction. So very soon, those will be available through my website.
Okay, wonderful. If I get any questions from anyone after they've heard this. Well, let's play the live version of Bury Me in Montana. This song is by Mike Murray, and it ends up being a little bit of your theme song there, Mike, in some ways, you know?
Yeah, it sort of has become such.
Well, let's hear it. Here we go.
They forded the Mississippi and went west across the plains. Courage and calamity left cans along the way. Our fathers danced with danger under our mother's watchful eye. The West became their fortune, but it was also their demise. Sand beach, the shoreline, and the plains of Africa. I've seen London and the river
of times I've been most everywhere, but I came home again. There's only one last best place where I wanna lie. Go on and bury me in Montana when I die.
Well, Mike, one thing is, I think a little birdie told me that you actually have another album coming out soon, and this is beyond your Volume 2 live archives. Why don't you speak about that so that we have something to look forward to hear from you?
Oh, fantastic. Yes, I have a fifth solo album. It is in progress. I'm about halfway done with it. Mm-hmm. I got a good jump on it before my summer show calendar got crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be 12 songs, and it will be coming out, hopefully, fingers crossed, hopefully late this year. So perhaps around, mid to late December this year.
Well, that sounds like holiday show material. I think that you'll have to give us a little bit of a preview, and we can turn listeners on to it here. The way that you express yourself and come off, Mike, and the way you are as a person, you're very true to your music as much as you are as the person. So thanks for that. Thanks for...
Thank you, Zan.
You know,
and that means a lot from our conversation and your incredibly thoughtful questions. I feel the same about you. I'm glad we got to talk.
Yeah.
I hope we do it again.
I'll have you back in the new year and we can talk about that new album. How about that?
That sounds wonderful.
Well, I hope you have a great rest of the evening. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
Thank you, Zan.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mike. And that ends our spotlight on this special Montana Soundspace.